Air America Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. Opening statement started today in the court martial of an Army dog handler accused of using the animal to abuse detainees at Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq. Prosecutors at Fort Meade, Maryland say Sergeant Santos Cardona was part of a crew of soldiers who enjoyed tormenting detainees. The defense, though, said Cardona followed the law and obeyed orders at a time when the Pentagon was pressing for intelligence and the chain of command at Abu Ghraib prison was broken. Cardona is the second Army dog handler charged in the Abu Ghraib scandal. Meanwhile, Amnesty International today attacked the U.S. use of military contractors in Iraq as war outsourcing. The human rights group said the behavior of some contractors has diminished America's moral standing. Of the estimated 25,000 military contractors in Iraq, Amnesty International says some stand accused of engaging in or supporting human rights violations, such as sexual abuse and torture, and some have been implicated in the Abu Ghraib scandal, but there have been no prosecutions of contractors. George Bush says he will reassess Iraq's needs for American military help now that a new government has taken office in Baghdad. But Bush says the current relationship is not at the point where Iraq leaders are taking military strategy with American commanders. 41 people died in Iraq today. 11 died when a bomb planted in a motorcycle exploded in the courtyard of a Shiite mosque. An hour later, a roadside bomb exploded outside a bakery in southeast Baghdad, killing three bystanders. In other deadly attacks, a car bomb detonated outside a police station in Baghdad's Sadr City neighborhood, killing five. Gunmen in a car shot and killed four ironsmiths, and a drive-by shooting attackers killed three day laborers. Gunmen in a speeding car killed three men standing near a house in Bakuba, and a high school teacher on his way to work was killed in a drive-by shooting. George Bush today praised Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert's plan for a unilateral redrawing of West Bank borders. Bush calls it an important step toward peace, but Bush stopped short of a full endorsement. He says a negotiated agreement best serves Israelis, Palestinians, and the cause of peace. Under the West Bank plan, Olmert would remove isolated Israeli settlements in the territory and increase major enclaves that Israel says it intends to keep and draw a border by 2010. Bush met with Olmert at the White House today. That's the first meeting with the new Israeli leader. This is Air America Radio News.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. It's Tuesday, so there must be another assault on the U.S. Constitution. Welcome to the program. I'm Mike Malloy on the Air America Radio Network. General Hayden doing a great Oliver North impersonation is just a short hair, almost said it, a short hair away from being confirmed by the full Senate. He got a 12-3 up vote on the on the Senate committee today, the Senate Intelligence Committee today. There were three Democrats said no. Those three Democrats are Russ Feingold, Evan Bayh, and Ron Wyden. The rest of the Democrats on that committee, the other four, said, "Oh yeah, we love him. He'll make a good one." Those four that said yes were Jay Rockefeller, Carl Levin, Dianne Feinstein, and Barbara Mikulski. They all feel that he's going to make a great CIA. We'll get into that a little bit later in the program. And people still wonder why I try my best in my little radio program to bust the asses of these Democrats. Oh, my God. So we're going to have one of Negroponte's finest, one of the CIA's wet men, looking out for the corporate interests of the Bush crime family and coming up with even more illegal programs. Constitution be damned. Constitution be damned. This guy is like most people like this, like what's his name, Ken Starr. They Ken Starr and this guy look like brothers. Have you noticed that? Separated at birth. Huh? N'est-ce pas? But they're geniuses in figuring out ways to screw the Constitution and the American public. So look for much more of this from Mr. Hayden, General Hayden, excuse me. We're also going to discuss the ongoing swift voting of Al Gore by the press. It never stops. It must be like Stockholm syndrome with reporters these days. They have been held in thrall by the Republican killers for so long. They're starting to think like Republican killers, huh? I guess they figure if they attack Democrats, and especially Al Gore, maybe Gonzalez won't order them sent to Gitmo or rendered to some other country. Or maybe that just there are no Democrats to attack, you know, real Democrats, and they got to come up with something to counterbalance all the scandals, the Libby, Cheney, Rove, DeLay, Bush, Armitage, and on and on and on and on. So they go back to criticizing Gore's global warming documentary, An Inconvenient Truth. Oh, and for kicks, they bring back up the lies about Love Story and inventing the Internet and so on and so forth. Meanwhile, we murdered 16 innocent Afghans yesterday in an attack on the Taliban in that country. Now, wait a minute. Didn't Bush say the Taliban were all gone from Afghanistan? Mission accomplished, and they're growing pomegranates and wearing white shoes and flying. Oh, never mind. Never mind. Now, speaking of the Gore film, in a preemptive strike, something called the Competitive Enterprise Institute, which is a neo-fascist, corporatist group of propagandists. They have released a couple of 30-second spots, commercials, claiming that global warming is our friend, that increased carbon dioxide is a good thing. You got to hear these two commercials to believe them. We're going to play them for you in just a second here. But the confirmation by the Senate committee, the Senate Intelligence Committee, not confirmation, but the okay to move it on the full Senate today, by a vote of 12-3. Astonishing. It's just astonishing. I don't, what is it? What gets into the heads of people like Feinstein and Rockefeller and Mikulski? And who is the other one? Who is the other one who voted? Who voted yes? Don't email me. I have it right here. Levin, Carl Levin. Jesus God, Levin said he praised Hayden for standing up to Defense Secretary Rumsfeld on intelligence issues. Is Carl Levin? He can't be that stupid to not have realized that that was a game. How do you stand up to your superior in the chain of command if you're in the military? Quick answer, you don't. You may try to make a few stupid-ass senators think you are, or the lapdog press. Is Carl Levin a stupid-ass senator? I never thought he was. But Levin said that Michael Hayden, quote, has shown some independence and some backbone, end quote. That's what Levin said. Oh, my God. Russ Feingold, who voted against Hayden, said all the stuff that Hayden's been involved in has been illegal, not to mention extra-constitutional. Feingold said, no one is above the law. I hate to be a smartass here. I really do. But, Russ, you're wrong. You're wrong. The Bush crime family has set things up, has consolidated power to such an extent that they all are above the law. The raid that took place on Saturday, which, you know, I try to stay away from all news on Saturdays and Sundays. This blew right past me. But the raid on by the FBI, an actual kick down the doors, Saturday night raid on Capitol Hill office of this poor Representative William Jefferson, the Democrat from Louisiana, who may or may not be guilty of everything he's been charged with. But even neo-Nazi Newt Gingrich issued the following statement, quote, there's no excuse for the FBI for the first time in history searching a congressional office and apparently doing so in total disregard of due process as it relates to the legislative branch, end quote. Gingrich was particularly critical of what he described as the executive branch trampling constitutional lines of authority. Newt! What are you talking about? These are the people that you love. These are the people for whom you do things the way Monica did things for Bill. What are you talking about? Where's your really outraged, Newt? Huh? Are you really? He went on to he wrote this in an email, I guess, to several members of Congress. He went on to write, quote, the president should respond accordingly and should discipline, probably fire, whoever exhibited this extraordinary violation. He added, the protection of the legislative branch from the executive branch's policing powers is a fundamental principle which goes all the way back to the English Civil War. End quote. And then he also added that he thought it was the most blatant violation of the constitutional separation of powers in his lifetime. Oh, really? Is that right, Newt? A Newtster? Oh, my goodness, you're shocked? You're just shocked. Gambling? Here? Now, whether or not... whether or not this guy is guilty or innocent is immaterial. Jefferson has already acknowledged that he could be indicted. He says he's innocent, but his claims of innocence were not aided by an 83-page affidavit used to justify the raid that states the FBI has videotape of this guy accepting a $100,000 cash bribe from an FBI informant. And the cash was later found in his refrigerator in his Washington home in August. Is the guy guilty? Who knows? Sure as hell looks that way, doesn't it? But this, you see, the Bush crime family is very serious about eliminating the legislative branch, reducing it to a pack of whores who occasionally spread them for their corporate masters and get the job done as quickly and as efficiently as possible, collect their money, and go home. The judicial branch has become nothing but a place where the activities of the executive branch are going to be upheld and affirmed. Becomes nothing but a rubber stamp for the Bush crime family or whatever right-wing thug takes over if Bush leaves. This is where we are. Is this nice? Hey, Republicans, nice work, nice work, nice work.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 100,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals on the iMed and Cigna Dental Networks. Call right now and you can try the Optimum Health Discount Card risk-free for 30 days. That's right. Your membership entitles you to full access to the entire Cigna Dental Network and iMed Network for you to try risk-free for 30 days. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Start saving up to 60% off now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
living up to the flying monkey ride. It's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 21 past the hour. Just astonishing, isn't it? The Bush crime family is deadly serious. And I am beginning to question, oh boy, now the people out there who love to link me with the conspiracy theorists who don't believe the official story of September 11th, 2001. All right, here's some new fodder for you. I'm starting to question whether or not there will be a presidential election in 2008. I really am. This raid by the FBI into this congressman's office, even as Newt Gingrich and Bob Barr, who now writes occasional columns for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and is working with, I don't know what he does with the ACLU. Maybe he's a paid consultant. I have no idea. But even these guys, the kind of Republicans who 10, 15 years ago set the course for the destruction of the U.S. Constitution, even they, now that their handiwork is coming to fruition, even they are starting to squirm and squeal and squeak like the rats that they really are. You know, why doesn't Newt just shut up? Or is this just a little facade, a little trick, a little sleight of hand? Newt Gingrich all upset because of what this corrupt criminal administration did vis-a-vis the legislative branch of government. How many people, how many members of Congress in the history of this republic have been investigated and convicted or found innocent or sent to jail or had to resign in disgrace, including Newt Gingrich, including Tom DeLay? How many of those people have had charges filed against them, criminal charges, and never had their offices raided by the FBI? All of them. Until last Saturday night. Now, Randy Duke Cunningham, who has the distinction of being sent to prison for 8 or 9 years for the most massive example of selling the office, his congressional office, to the highest bidder, even he did not have his office raided. So what's the message, do you suppose, at this point? Well, it's very clear. Isn't it? Isn't the message clear? The Bush crime family has put the entire Congress on notice, the entire legislative branch. Well, maybe not the Senate. They haven't figured, oh, that's right, the anthrax was sent to the senators. So they're putting the House of Representatives on notice. You do exactly as you're told. Oh, we'll allow a little token resistance, but don't you people even think, don't even consider applying your constitutional prerogative as a co-equal in running this country, because you're not. We will bust your asses. Is that clear, gentlemen? Oh, and gentle ladies, snicker, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. A law professor at the University of Baltimore who served as solicitor and deputy general counsel of the House for 11 years, his name is Charles Tiefer, he said this raid, this incident, quote, raises some serious separation of powers questions when extraordinarily harsh and extreme tactics are used on the legislative branch, end quote. Oh, really? Now, during his tenure, according to what I have here from Congress Daily, Tiefer said the FBI conducted, quote, many successful investigations, end quote, of members of Congress without having to resort to raids. Well, like I said, it's Tuesday. And that is about the only significance to the raid today, on Saturday. It is out all over the internet, all over the. Did you read this in Saturday or Sunday's paper? I did not. Of course, like I said, I tend to stay away from news on the weekends. Although I did read Sunday A section New York Times, and yesterday's A section New York Times, today's A section New York Times. I didn't see anything about the raid. I'm sure it was there. In the meantime, Democratic senators Rockefeller, Levin, Feinstein, and Mikulski decided that Further consolidation of power into the hands of these neo-Nazis is okay. And in voting to pass Hayden on to the full Senate for confirmation, that's what these four Democrats did. Dianne Feinstein, I'll be damned. I'll be damned. Hayden, by the way, told senators during his nomination hearing last week, remember, that he would determine what the American public needs to know and what will remain secret if he's confirmed to take over the CIA. He will make that decision. So Feinstein and Levin and Rockefeller and Mikulski decide, well, that's cool. All right. We love you, General. You look so much like Oliver North. We're starting to get all a quiver. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Look at your radio. Kind of cool, right? From somewhere far, far away, progressive voices are beamed directly to wherever you are on Air America Radio. You know, there's so much to say. We've tried archiving previous shows inside that radio of yours. We've tried stuffing it full of video feeds of Al Franken and Jerry Springer, The Majority Report, and more. But that part doesn't seem to be working. So the really great stuff that won't fit inside your radio is available right now from Air America Premium. We tried stuffing the homepage in your radio, but that didn't work either. So please use your computer instead. Find out about Air America Premium today at airamericaradio.com.
Every day, Aleve helps millions of people overcome the pain of arthritis. In recognition of Arthritis Month, Aleve is bringing you one of their stories every day.
I'm Phyllis Ocean, and this is my story. When I was diagnosed, my arthritis was in my knees. I started using Aleve. You don't know how good you feel until the pain is gone.
31 people, 31 stories, 31 days of good news. That's a daily dose.
Aleve works for me.
Watch for a new story each day on national TV and AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
Nice shot! Time out!
Basketball's fun, but I need a cold drink.
My mom's making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine? Let's go!
I guess the kids will be home soon. Let's make rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Come on! Sarah's mom's making...
rich chocolate Ovaltine.
All right!
My kids love Ovaltine's rich chocolate taste. And I love all those vitamins and minerals that you won't find in Nesquik powder.
Mom, we're back!
Who wants Ovaltine?
We do!
We better make more.
More Ovaltine, please!
Who was the first automaker to introduce factory-installed safety belts and roll stability control? First to introduce emergency trunk releases and offer head and chest side airbags? And who is working on future safety innovations like lane departure warning and blind spot alert systems? It's Ford Motor Company. Ford engineers are working to help protect children, keep families safer, and save lives. Ford, driving American innovation.
investigated, it doesn't make sense for us to let them know who they are.
Twenty-six before the hour. Unless you've been in a cave for the past couple of weeks, you know that Al Gore has a film out that's been at all sorts of, well, not all sorts, but a couple of film festivals where it has it's gotten mixed reviews. It's called An Inconvenient Truth, and the corporate power in this country is going insane over this movie, as are Republicans, the whores of the corporations in the House and the Senate. They're going ballistic. And anybody that they can hire outside, for example, this guy named Sterling Burnett, who is bought and paid for by Exxon. He's a senior fellow at some fake little toy outfit called the National Center for Policy Analysis, an organization set up specifically by ExxonMobil and a couple other corporations. ExxonMobil has contributed almost $500,000 since 1998 into this sump hole of not even truthiness, lie-iness. Now, this afternoon on Fox News Channel, the propaganda outlet for the United States, the major propaganda outfit, I should say, for the United States, Sterling Burnett compared watching Al Gore's movie to watching a movie by Nazi propagandist Joseph Goebbels. Yeah. Now, you can watch this bit from Fox News by going to thinkprogress.org, thinkprogress.org. Scroll down just a bit, and there is this creature's hideous face. Click on the appropriate button, and you can hear what he had to say on Fox. Now, ExxonMobil, which single-handedly is destroying the atmosphere. Let's face it. Come on. They don't have a substantive answer to Gore's movie, so they throw tons and tons of money at pigs like Sterling Burnett to smear Gore personally, which is nothing new. That's what my blog is about today at airamericaradio.com/Malloy, about this very thing. Not this specific pig, Sterling Burnett, not this subhuman bastard, Sterling Burnett, but about the attack on Al Gore. It's never ending. Burnett also has written recently an editorial defending former Exxon CEO Lee Raymond's lavish compensation, hundreds of millions of dollars. He was paid $190,000 a day in 2005. And, of course, every time this pig writes or goes on television, he fails to mention his and his National Center for Policy Analysis, a financial connection to ExxonMobil. He is being, what was the commentator that was bought and paid for? Armstrong. He's being Armstrong Williams'd. You know, these right-wing pigs will do anything, they will say anything, show them enough money, and they'll get on there and say their mothers are whores. They'll get on there and say their sisters turn tricks for a living. That's how evil and corrupt and filthy people like Sterling Burnett really are. Speaking of which, John Turney, do you ever read him? Did you read him today in the New York Times? He tries to disguise himself as kind of a libertarian, middle-of-the-roader, when he is, in fact, another one of the apologists that work for the apologists for Nazism or fascism, American fascism, that works at the New York Times. They have a whole stable of them there. Everybody from David Brooks to the late, great Judith Miller to Jeff Girth. I mean, it just goes on and on. The New York Times has a collection of writers. If they're not on the CIA payroll, they are authorized or tasked with putting out the most vile propaganda and lies, cover the truth, hide the truth, protect the corporations, while at the same time pretend like you're halfway interested in breathable air or drinkable water or a future. But today, John Tierney, goes after an inconvenient truth, which is going to open this week, I guess, this weekend. Now, this is the same guy who once mocked global warming, said it didn't happen, couldn't happen. And today he writes that a better title for this film would have been Revenge of the Nerd. And notes that it is based on, quote, a slideshow that he, Gore, inflicts on audiences around the world to no discernible effect, end quote. And Tierney goes on to say, but he'll probably get an Oscar because, quote, getting anyone to voluntarily sit through 100 minutes of Al Gore and his slides is an historic cinematic achievement, end quote. Tierney goes on to say the film is not really true, his words. He says Gore lays too much on the oil companies and the Republicans and Bush for not signing the Kyoto Accords. And Tierney adds, quote, Gore's cinematic strategy for rousing the public is to present doomsday scenarios and ignore the evidence that civilization may just survive after all. But even as propaganda, Tierney writes, the film is ultimately unsatisfying. Gore doesn't mind frightening his audience with improbable future catastrophes, but he avoids any call to action that would cause immediate discomfort either to film goers or to voters in the 2008 primaries, close quote. Well, I don't know what to say. Why should I sit here and waste my... what did Barbara Bush say? My precious mind, my beautiful mind, trying to respond to this half-witted ass. He avoids any call to action. Al Gore has been begging for action for about the past 15 years. But never mind. Al Gore is the one this whorish, rotten media loves to attack because he's smarter than them. He is more politically astute than they are. He is more correct than they are. And his popularity ratings is triple what the news media's are. Jesus. Every place you turn, I wonder how much Tierney is paid to whore or pimp for the corporations that are destroying the country. You want to hear him? One of them starts with a little girl blowing away dandelion fluff as the announcer says, carbon dioxide, they call it pollution. We call it life. Now listen, you got the first one queued up. Listen to this.
There's something in these pictures you can't see. It's essential to life. We breathe it out. Plants breathe it in. It comes from animal life. The oceans. The earth. And the fuels we find in it. It's called carbon dioxide. CO2. The fuels that produce CO2 have freed us from a world of back-breaking labor. Lighting up our lives. Allowing us to create and move the things we need, the people we love. Now some politicians want to label carbon dioxide a pollutant.
Oh, no!
Imagine if they succeed. What would our lives be like then?
Whoa!
Carbon dioxide. They call it pollution. We call it life.
Isn't that nice? I'm sorry about the... The music swells. You have to look at the videos, and you can see them. You can go to where? Let me see. Where are they? Go to streams.cei.org. Precede it with http://streams.cei.org. Now the second one begins with a series of snapshots of Time magazine covers and newspaper headlines about global warming. Listen to this.
You've seen those headlines about global warming. The glaciers are melting. We're doomed. That's what several studies supposedly found.
But other scientific studies found exactly the opposite. Greenland's glaciers are growing, not melting.
Really?
The Antarctic ice sheet is getting thicker, not thinner.
Really?
Did you see any big headlines about that?
No.
Why are they trying to scare us?
They hate us?
Global warming alarmists claim the glaciers are melting because of carbon dioxide from the fuels we use.
No.
Let's force people to cut back, they say. But we depend on those fuels to grow our food, move our children, light up our lives. And as for carbon dioxide, it isn't smog or smoke. It's what we breathe out and plants breathe in. Carbon dioxide, they call it pollution. We call it life.
Can you believe this? Can you believe this? A couple of years ago, Gore gave a speech on global warming to MoveOn.org. It was a policy speech. He called the president a moral coward back then, who abandoned the public's environmental interests to placate his financial supporters. And it was written about by someone named Melanie Hunter. She is CNSNews.com deputy managing editor, or she was. She's probably gone back to her waitressing job at this point. But no offense against waitresses, you know what I'm saying. Gore made his speech to a crowd at New York's Beacon Theater. He said at times during the speech that the Bush-Cheney administration seems to be wholly owned by the coal, oil, utility, and mining industries. But the National Center for Public Policy Research, oh, there's another one, one of Gore's many critics said, quote, the speech is full of demagoguery, misleading statements, formulations intended to deceive, undisputed allegations of wrongdoing, and hypocrisy, end quote. When the lights go out, these are more people that I get. You're going to have to find your own to eliminate. I get these.
The heat is on. The heat is on cold. The heat is on. Oh, it's on the street. The heat is on.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Subway Dinner Theater presents
Buried Alive.
Help, help.
What's wrong, hon?
I'm buried under an avalanche of responsibility. Household errands, client meetings. Help, help.
Okay, we're going out for dinner.
To Subway restaurants and the new Tuscan chicken sandwich. Tender chicken, melted cheese, grilled vegetables, 8 grams of fat. Subway, eat fresh.
For a limited time only, participating restaurants. Subway is a registered trademark of Doctor's Associates Inc. Fat content statement refers to regular 6-inch sub recipe without non-low-fat condiments such as mayonnaise.
Every day, Aleve helps millions of people overcome the pain of arthritis. In recognition of Arthritis Month, Aleve is bringing you one of their stories every day.
I'm Phyllis Ocean, and this is my story. When I was diagnosed, my arthritis was in my knees. I started using Aleve. You don't know how good you feel until the pain is gone.
31 people, 31 stories, 31 days of good news. That's a daily dose.
Aleve works for me.
Watch for a new story each day on national TV and AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
We'll be right back.
that the globe is warming?
About 8:30 before the hour. So these ads put together by this terrible, terrible, death-dealing, anti-life organization, the CEI, Competitive Enterprise Institute. Oh, my God. They're going to start running in the following cities: Albany, New York, Albuquerque, Anchorage, Austin, Texas, Charleston, West Virginia, Dallas, Dayton, Ohio, Denver, Harrisburg, PA, Phoenix, Sacramento, and Santa Barbara, California, Springfield, Illinois, and Washington, D.C. And the pigs that put this together, one of them, Sam Kasman, an institute lawyer who worked on the ad, said, quote, "We had started work on this several months back, but we sort of changed course once the flood of glacier melting stories began. So we did want to get out there before the Al Gore film got into national opening," end quote. Fred Smith, who's the president of the Institute, says that he has seen the Gore film and found it very alarmist. He says, quote, "There's a lot of pictures of Al Gore pensively looking into the sunset. I don't think he's running for president, but he might be running for arch druid. You sons of bitches. You miserable sons of bitches."
Meanwhile, another hurricane season is upon us. My favorite part about these videos are all the images of the waving trees in the breeze talking about plants breathe it in.
Yeah.
We call it life. And the irony is deforestation has eliminated so many trees, and the burning of these trees via deforestation creates to the problem. You know,
well, you know, the rainforests have been called the lungs of the earth, and the rainforests are being utterly destroyed. They don't mention that, do they, in the ads?
They don't mention that. And then so you have increased carbon dioxide from burning the trees, and then you have fewer trees to absorb the carbon dioxide. So, you know, what they're claiming, I mean, it's classic Bush administration doublespeak. I mean, it's the exact opposite is true. They're showing the waving trees and saying, trees breathe it in. Yeah, but if you kill the trees, you know, then what's breathing it in? The oceans can't keep absorbing it. You're going to have, you know, that's why ocean levels are on the rise.
Yeah. Well, I would like to see the people who wrote this ad or that smarmy spokeswoman, and somebody just sent this to me in an email, wrap their lips around a carbon dioxide smokestack someplace and breathe in the breath of life, you know?
Yeah, call it life. Plus, they ignore all the other greenhouse gases. I mean, they don't say anything about ozone. They don't say anything about methane. They're not saying anything about, I know there's like a couple more, but mm-hmm. The point is that all of these things that contribute to the greenhouse effect, and they keep saying, oh, well, it's okay. It's okay if the earth warms up a degree or two, you know, because there's a lot of people who don't like it cold, and there's a lot of death that's caused by cold. And you know, and you think, well, Katrina, Andrew, I mean, how many, Dennis, Wilma, whatever, I mean, how many more of these warm tropical storms do we need?
You know, sometimes I just wonder how we got to the point where we allow this kind of message to be put out there. Now, I just mentioned the cities where this message, these two rabidly false anti-life commercials are going to run. And I just think to myself, you know, how many people in those cities, or as they're referred to in the commercial business, those markets, are going to see those commercials and say, oh, okay, yeah, look, there's trees and a little girl blowing off dandelion fuzz. Everything's okay. Jesus Christ, I hate Al Gore. You know, he's such an alarmist. You know, thank you, Competitive Enterprise Institute. Thank you, George Bush. Thank you for easing my fears. Now, that's not what they're thinking, but that is exactly what is going on unconsciously. They can't prevent it from happening. Because anyone with the sense evolution gave a sack full of rocks could take a look at the elemental scientific evidence of what's going on, even for people who can't read. Look at the pictures. Look at the pictures from Google Earth. Look at the shrinking ice cap. Look at the pictures on the Nature Channel. huge swaths of ice from Antarctica plunging into the ocean. So you don't even have to be able to read, for Christ's sake. So the fear is there. Everybody has a fear. I don't care how many of these right-wingers deny it. But you see, it's long-term. It's not going to affect these pasty-faced pigs today. Global warming is not going to have the horrific effect today that it's going to have 50 years from now. And these pasty-faced pigs will be dead. I just hope they have kids and grandkids, because I do. And if my kids are going to die trying to suck in air, and my grandchildren are going to fry because there's no more protection from UVA and UVB, well, maybe the offspring of these pasty-faced pigs can suffer the same fate. You think? This is Air America.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Some of the best minds in the automotive industry, using some of the most sophisticated design facilities. Engineers from Ford Motor Company are working together on a common mission, creating safer cars for our families and our children. Ford is renewing its commitment to driving American innovation. At the core of that effort is your safety, because every single life saved is worth it. Ford, driving American innovation.
Air America Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. A tape said to be from Osama bin Laden says that Zacharias Moussaoui, the only person convicted in the U.S. for the 9/11 attacks, had nothing to do with that operation. The person on the tape claiming to be bin Laden says he was in charge of the 19 hijackers on 9/11 and that he never assigned Moussaoui to that mission. The Senate Intelligence Committee today gave its approval to General Michael Hayden's nomination to head the CIA. The panel recommended Hayden's confirmation by a vote of 12-3, with three of the committee's seven Democrats, Senators Feingold, Wyden, and Bayh, casting no votes. Afghan President Hamid Karzai ordered an inquiry into the U.S. bombing that killed at least 16 civilians, including some at a religious school. The U.S.-led coalition was targeting Taliban fighters in the airstrike. U.S. officials say at least 20 militants, perhaps as many as 80, were killed. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert met at the White House with George Bush today. Bush urging Olmert to hold serious talks with his Palestinian counterpart, Mahmoud Abbas, rather than with the Hamas-dominated Palestinian Authority. An environmental group today sued the Bush administration over new rules to boost gas mileage requirements for sport utility vehicles and pickup trucks. The Sierra Club says the regulations do not go far enough. The Sierra Club joined 10 states and other environmental groups in challenging the rules. The regulations would raise gas mileage requirements by 1.8 miles per gallon for the 2008 to 11 model years to a fleet-wide average of 24 miles per gallon. The administration released those new rules in March. The program implements gas mileage rules based on a vehicle's size. It is expected to save more than 10 billion gallons of fuel burned during the life of those vehicles, but critics say that only amounts to a few weeks of fuel. The head of the Federal Trade Commission went before the Senate Commerce Committee to argue against a federal law against oil pricing gouging. Deborah Majora says such a law would be difficult to enforce and could hurt consumers by causing fuel shortages. Former Senator and Treasury Secretary Lloyd Benson being held by members of both parties today. He died at his home in Houston at age 85. Benson had had two strokes in 1998 and other health problems. He ran for vice president. Benson perhaps best known for the famous 1988 debate put down of Vice President Dan Quayle saying, "Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy." This is Air America Radio News.
back, 7 past the hour. I've been sent a link to the New York Times tomorrow, an article about this FBI raid on the office of the representative from Louisiana, William Jefferson. Apparently, Republicans have their bloomers in a wad about this. Too bad, boys. This is only the beginning. So it's at NewYorkTimes.com right now. FBI raid divides GOP lawmakers in White House is the title. Now, I cannot get over the horror of these two ads put together by the Competitive Enterprise Institute. I can't get my mind around, and apparently neither can a lot of you folks who are listening hearing this for the first time tonight. Well, first time, sure, because it hasn't been out there unless you have gone to thinkprogress.org where you can watch and listen to both of these. But we want to play the audio for you one more time from the second one. And the voiceover, the woman's voice, I swear that if you listen close enough, this woman must be a descendant of one of the people in Auschwitz or Treblinka or Dachau who told people to, don't worry, we're going to delouse you and give you a shower. So lay your clothes neatly here on the bench. And, of course, we'll probably burn these clothing. We'll have nice new uniforms for you when you come out the other side. I swear that's what she sounds like. I want you to hear this audio again.
You've seen those headlines about global warming. The glaciers are melting. We're doomed. That's what several studies supposedly found. But other scientific studies found exactly the opposite. Greenland's glaciers are growing, not melting. The Antarctic ice sheet is getting thicker, not thinner. Did you see any big headlines about that? Why are they trying to scare us? Global warming alarmists claim the glaciers are melting because of carbon dioxide from the fuels we use. Let's force people to cut back, they say. But we depend on those fuels to grow our food, move our children, light up our lives. And as for carbon dioxide, it isn't smog or smoke. It's what we breathe out and plants breathe in. Carbon dioxide, they call it pollution. We call it life.
My God. They call it Zyklon B. We call it a shower.
I call it propaganda. I've never heard anything like that. We needed to move our children, light up our lives. Yeah, we're going to be lit up all right.
I get furious. I have to tell you, this will probably wind up someplace, but when I hear something like that, I want to kill somebody. I really do. I get a murderous rage inside of me because I have grandchildren. I have grandchildren, little kids, you know, 5-year-old, 4-year-old. I have an almost 2-year-old. And I see a commercial like that and the people that put that commercial out as people who are directly threatening the life of my children and grandchildren, directly. If somebody were in my home or on the street or forced their way into my car and put my children in danger, I would instantly kill them. Instantly. I would not even think. I would simply take out my weapon and put a bullet as close to their brain as possible. I wouldn't even think. In fact, I would probably empty the clip into them. My children and my grandchildren are, how do you explain that? Yours too. I know, yours too, right? Wouldn't you do the same? If you don't carry a gun like I do, would you not pick up the nearest stick or rock or broken bottle and immediately murder the person or kill the person who is trying to murder your children or your grandchildren? Wouldn't you do it? Yes, you would. You would. You know you would. Your instinct, the part of you that you cannot evolve away from, would make you do it. You will not kill my child. I will kill you. It wouldn't even be a thought. You wouldn't even think. When the roaring in your ears stopped, your baby would be safe, and the person who almost killed your baby would be dead, forever dead, gone. And you would be standing there with a weapon, a gun, a knife, a broken bottle, a barrel stave, an iron rod. It makes no difference. That is how I feel when I hear a commercial like that. Absolute, barely controllable, murderous rage. It's one thing to listen on my phone calls, destroy my constitution, and representative government in a country that I was born in. It's something, you know, I might be able to cope with that because, you know, I'm an adult and the people doing this appear to be adults. And in a fight, maybe I win, they lose. But when I feel like my children, my young child, my grown children can take care of themselves. But when I think about my child, my almost 2-year-old or my little grandchildren, and the threat being directed against their lives by these filthy sons of bitches, like the Competitive Enterprise Institute, it evokes inside me a rage that is so powerful that I have to sit here and breathe deeply during the commercials or at home. When Kathy first found these cuts today and played them for me, I had to sit there for a couple of minutes and breathe. You know, sit there, spine straight, hands on knees, eyes closed, breathe in, breathe out. And it's going to play in all of these markets. People who are really viscerally afraid of global warming. How can you not be? The evidence is all over the globe. But it is so huge, so enormous, such a total threat that we can't process it. We can't handle it. So it is tucked into the unconscious. No, I can't deal with that. But it's there. It's one of those fears that my generation grew up with, the same fear about nuclear destruction, about mutual assured destruction, global thermonuclear war. We grew up with it. And we sublimated it. We pushed it down. We made it unconscious. But it was always there. And now this. So when this plays in these various markets, people who are already terrified of what these filthy bastards are doing to the country will be doubly terrified about what they're doing to the planet. And they won't be able to handle it. And they push it down. And along comes this commercial. Whew. Oh, man. Okay. Thank God. It's not so bad after all. That's just human nature. You don't have to be Democrat, Republican, liberal, or conservative to feel that. Whew. Oh, okay. Reprieve. The governor called. The execution's off. They're not going to put the needle in my arm. Ah. It's horrifying. Just horrifying. And what, you know, I don't know how it affects you, but experiencing that rage horrifies me. You know, to know that there are forces operating within my society that are not wild beasts. They're not unexplainable monsters. They are not pissed off demons or gods. They are human beings who are such a threat to me. And I can't get to them and end them. It's astonishing. Just astonishing.
It makes sense, by the way, to use research and development, your dollars for research and development to figure out ways
to burn corn.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 100,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals on the iMed and Cigna Dental Networks. Call right now and you can try the Optimum Health Discount Card risk-free for 30 days. That's right. Your membership entitles you to full access to the entire Cigna Dental Network and iMed Network for you to try risk-free for 30 days. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Start saving up to 60% off now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
Any collective approach is one based upon sound science and not based upon science.
Nothing lasts forever but the earth and sky. It slips away. And all your money won't another minute by.
21 minutes past the hour. I think there's one more thing here that didn't want to drop in, and then we're going to do some phone calls. The phone number here is 866-303-2270. Remember last week the bogus story about that appeared first in Canada's National Post about the Iranians had passed a law requiring Jews, Christians, and Zoroastrians to wear special insignia on their clothing? If you saw the Sunday New York Times, it made it into that global roundup, those little blurbs. There it was, and the New York Times said they couldn't confirm the story. This is out there now at alternate.org, written by Josh Holland. It's titled, "The Bogus Iran Story is in Keeping with the Next Hitler." And then he's got the little trademark sign next to it, framework. A bogus story first appearing in Canada's National Post spread around the world this week, and the National Post newspaper quoted human rights groups as saying that Iran's parliament passed a law setting a public dress code to require non-Muslims to wear a special insignia. Jews, Christians, and Zoroastrians would be forced to wear a yellow, red, or blue strip of cloth, respectively, in front of their clothes. It said the whole thing was complete, and he uses the BS word, I use the word lie. Iran's only Jewish member of parliament strongly denied reports in a Canadian newspaper overnight that Iran may force non-Muslims to wear colored badges in public so they can be identified. Maurice Motamed said in Tehran, "This report is a complete fabrication and is totally false. It is a lie, and the people who invented it wanted to make political gain by doing so." End quote. Maurice? The story was pushed here in the States by the Simon Wiesenthal Center, who, according to Josh Holland, whose penchant for backing up right-wing fabrications has made it, in my mind, no longer a credible source. The guy who wrote the Post article, Holland writes, Amir Tahiri is a writer for, among other publications, National Review and Murdoch's New York Post. The National Post retracted the article after hours after it was posted at their site and blamed Tahiri for the bad info. Tahiri is pimped or repped by Benador Associates, a public relations firm that has all the leading neocon nutcases. Jim Loeb of IPS wrote the following of Benador, quote, "When historians look back on the United States war in Iraq, they will almost certainly be struck by how a small group of mainly neoconservative analysts and activists outside the administration were able to shape the U.S. media debate in ways that made the drive to war so much easier than it might have been. But historians would be negligent if they ignored the day-to-day work of one person who, as much as anyone outside the administration, made their media ubiquity possible. Meet Eliana Benador, the Peruvian-born publicist for Pearl, Woolsey, Michael Ledeen, Frank Gaffney, and a dozen other prominent neoconservatives whose hawkish opinions proved very hard to avoid for anyone who watched news talk shows or read the op-ed pages of major newspapers over the past 20 months. Benador also represents Judith Miller." So here we go again, Josh Holland closes, with the same crackpots coming out of the woodwork to make Iran the next Nazi Germany. What remains to be seen is how many suckers who are out there will fall for the same trick twice. Josh Holland is a staff writer at alternate.org. It's so easy to do, isn't it? I should know. Since I put it, I couldn't wait to get on the air and put the story out that night, remember? Couldn't wait to do it. Hey, look here! Well, lesson learned. Big time. All right, we have a break coming here, and just very quickly when we come back, I have an email from someone who signed himself Mr. Detached. And you got to hear this. I have no reason to doubt this guy. And I want you to hear what he wrote. It's just an email. But it's something that happened just prior to September 11, 2001. You know, just prior to the attack. I'll give you a clue. Remember the stories about all the airline stocks that had been sold short, and millions were made that day on United and American. Those are the two airlines involved in the terrible crashes, I believe, and their stock plunged. I'm going to share this email with you when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
When it comes to HIV and young Americans, some politicians promote an abstinence-only policy. This is Al Franken, and I'm encouraging abstinence from complacency and inaction. Take action in the fight against AIDS and help make AIDS history.
There are more than 75 walks happening all over the country throughout the year. For a comprehensive guide that will help you locate the AIDS Walk event closest to you, visit AIDSWalk.org. That's AIDSWalk.org. A message from Air America Radio.
I'm a woman. I like things like movies with dialogue and sweater sets. I like hot cocoa on a rainy day. I like the word cocoa. But most of all, I like my big fat hog. Which is why I have Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Geico covers most kinds of bikes and has money-saving discounts. Geico. That's nice.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
Okay, class, let's get back to vocabulary. Who can use the word rich in a sentence? Allison?
I like the rich colors of autumn leaves.
Very good. Kenny?
Rich chocolate Ovaltine rocks!
Okay, Kenny, try another one.
Ovaltine has a rich chocolatey taste. It's rich in nutrition, and it's richer in vitamins and minerals than Nesquik powder.
I get the point, Kenny. You love your Ovaltine, but...
That's rich chocolate Ovaltine, Mrs. McGee.
Got it.
More Ovaltine, please!
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Can't think of anything more logical and more commonsensical than to understand our hemisphere.
Chris wrote in regarding this carbon dioxide stuff. He writes, "We call it life. Wow, Mike, this is so Orwellian that my mind wants to believe it's a parody." Don't you just love the slogan, "They call it pollution, we call it life"? What a perfect example of doublespeak. That's from Chris. Diana in Florida sent this in to me. It's from a website whose address is too long for me to give on the air, and I don't have a tiny URL. But Diana writes, "I had to stop and clean up the puke off my keyboard after hearing that ode to carbon dioxide. Someone needs to add the disclosure that unnaturally high levels of CO2 can cause illness and even death." Then she gives a website, and here are the figures. A 2% concentration of carbon dioxide where you're breathing, that will give you a 50% increase in your breathing rate. A 3% concentration will, for 10 minutes, will give you a 100% increase in your breathing rate. A 5% concentration of CO2 where you're breathing will give you a 300% increase in breathing rate. A headache and sweating may begin after about an hour. And it says this will be tolerated by most people, but it is physically burdening. An 8% concentration of carbon dioxide, short-term exposure, headache after 10 to 15 minutes, dizziness, buzzing in the ears, blood pressure increase, high pulse rate, excitation, and nausea. A 10 to 18% increase in carbon dioxide concentration where you are breathing. After a few minutes, cramps similar to epileptic fits, loss of consciousness, and shock, including a sharp drop in blood pressure. The victims recover very quickly in fresh air. An 18 to 20% concentration of carbon dioxide in the air that you're breathing. The symptoms are similar to those of a stroke. And it adds, carbon dioxide can be lethal at concentrations at about 12%. And then Diana added a little postscript here that I probably should just leave off. Thanks, Diana. And Sue emailed in during the break regarding the raid on William Jefferson's office and how the members of the House and Senate are getting very upset. Sue writes, "What part of First They Came For," you know, referring to the Pastor Niemöller lamentation from Germany in the 30s. "What part of First They Came For, ... do the idiots fail to understand? Yesterday it was the news media complaining, 'They came after me.' Today it is the House and Senate complaining, 'They came after me.' What the hell did they expect?" Sue writes, "Of course they are coming after them. What did the Senate really do in response? They put a stamp of approval on this activity with a recommendation to confirm General Hayden. Too late to complain now, Sue." All right, as promised, and then on to your phone calls. I got this email this afternoon about 9/11. Listen to this. "Mike, I've been wanting to tell this story in public, but have been afraid for my two little girls and wife. I also believe that it is not compliant to discuss anything I may have reported under the Unpatriot Act. Very quickly, I worked for one of the largest and oldest investment banks in our country on 9/11 and handled investment accounts for the bank's customers, their stocks, their bonds, etc. On about August 6, 2001, I was approached by an American Caucasian female in her 50s who wanted to learn put option purchases on equities to gain as much downside leverage on banks, airlines, and insurance companies as she could. Her reason was that God spoke to her, and she knew the J.P. Morgan family. Being an enlightened atheist, I just thought she had the disease. I thought she would disappear if I did not return any phone calls. At the tail end of August 2001, she caught me in my office, and I humored her with a barrage of questions on her investment history so I might talk her out of such high-risk investments. I came to learn she had no prior experience of any sort, especially not the kind needed to leverage what she said was $250,000 in a safety deposit box in cash. The red flags were flying. I thought I was being set up by the NASD on some kind of investor suitability sting. I said I had to go get, to an appointment. I left and hoped I would not have to deal with her again. I had taken the week of September 11th off as my wife was very pregnant and ready to pop at any moment. I received a call September 10th in the a.m. that this lady was back waiting for me without an appointment and very adamant that she was not leaving until I met with her. I told the customer service woman to tell this woman that I had died, and I hung up. About 1 p.m., September 10th, 2001, I got a call from our main offices in Manhattan that this woman had arrived there and used my name, saying that I sent her there to do these trades. By the way, I'm in Connecticut. I told the trader that she is crazy and do not attach my name to anything she wishes to do. Well, we know what happened the next day. Her $250,000 would have been worth over $1.7 million in a couple of weeks. My second daughter was born September 13th, 01, and I took two more weeks off. In that time, my wife and I went over these circumstances and assumed that she was involved with the insider trading that took place all over the globe, although very unreported. Upon returning to work, we had decided that I would report this, and I did. No one, to my knowledge, has ever had to account for these insider trades. As I questioned newly formed Uber security staffers at headquarters, the response I got was to share nothing with the media or anyone else and to not ask about it anymore. In 2002, I found From the Wilderness and Mike Rupert. I resigned from the Big Brother company I worked for and did a true focus on the family. We bought a small organic farm, sold my SUV, and got a Civic Hybrid, and continued to give financial advice in a small and independent manner. I decided to tell the story because I think it relates a little to the plane into the Pentagon thing you just covered. You could not convince me that our king and his minions had nothing to do with 9/11. Anyway, I'm glad I finally got this off my chest. Circumstantial it is, but it is proof enough for me. I have probably watched 30 to 50 hours of television since my experience, because watching the collective stupidity makes me want to vomit as I rip my eyes out with a corkscrew. But I thank Mother Earth for your show, since it is the only thing that this atheist will do religiously. Okay, and the rest of it is praise. And he signs it, best wishes and thank you, Mr. Detached. There are 8 million stories in the Naked City. This is just one of them. All right. It's about 43 minutes past the hour. Let's do some phone calls, please. Let's start with DB, who's calling from Grand Rapids. DB, this is the guy who jumped out of the parachute.
Hello?
Hi, DB. Hello, DB.
Hello?
Yes, we're here. Can you hear me? Put him on
Hello?
Hold. Put him on hold, please, and we'll try again in a moment. Don't go away, DB. We'll be back. Bill is calling from Phoenix, Arizona. Bill, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
You know, tonight I find myself wondering, are you and I, a couple of old guys like us, that we learned full well of the American Revolution early on in our school years, right?
Uh-huh.
Are we going to be the people that learned about the first American Revolution and fought the second one? Or is it going to be a young gal by the name of Molly Malloy that fights that second revolution?
Yeah, I would just as soon not have her fight anything. I'd like
Me
her,
too, pal.
You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
But with a name like Molly Malloy...
Can you imagine it?
Yeah, I have to imagine it. I don't want to.
Yeah, but really, I mean, it's coming. It's like you could smell it in the air. If these guys do it one more time, steal one more election, stick our noses in it like they do daily, man, I'm ready. Mike, I'm ready to go to jail. I'm ready for whatever it takes.
Well, I hear you, and I'll tell you what, that attitude is out there. A lot of people...
It's really out there.
Yeah, a lot of people who are slow to realize what this administration is doing are now starting to come out of the ether. And, you know, this is the United States. We do have a history of violence.
Hey, these guys already pointed guns at me here in Phoenix. You know, like I said, I've been in the Rose Garden. The Ladybird had my sixth grade class in the Rose Garden. Not in the presence of weapons, was I? Went to Washington often in my years when I was back east. Never in the presence of weapons, Mike. This guy cannot change the dynamic of my country like this.
I hear you.
I am so appalled by it. You know, my heart's been out for daylight. There ain't much I can do anymore. But I know one thing. This nation needs to reunite on getting this man out of the office. But they have to be demonstrative about it. Do we have to know we're united, Mike? I have an idea. People think I'm nuts. I say put a little red light outside your house.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that in the email. I think you sent me that in an email. Hey, listen, I have to leave it there. Bill, good to hear from you. Keep calling. Just try to stay in control. We'll be right back.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
And then God said,
let there be Air America, and I'll pay for it.
Well, no, not really. At least not that last part. So instead, our beloved advertisers pick up the cost, secure in the knowledge that you, our beloved listener, will recognize their support of Air America and prefer to spend your after-tax dollars with them. Keep looking forward to a brighter future. And when you do patronize our advertisers, please be sure to mention that you heard their message on Air America Radio.
Every day, Aleve helps millions of people overcome the pain of arthritis. In recognition of Arthritis Month, Aleve is bringing you one of their stories every day.
I'm Phyllis Ocean, and this is my story. When I was diagnosed, my arthritis was in my knees. I started using Aleve. You don't know how good you feel until the pain is gone.
31 people, 31 stories, 31 days of good news. That's a daily dose.
Aleve works for me.
Watch for a new story each day on national TV and AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
It's about 10 before the hour. All right, let's go back to phone calls here. Back to DB. Let's try DB again in Grand Rapids, Michigan. DB, thanks for your patience.
Can you hear me, Mike?
I can hear you now.
Oh, that's great to know. Okay. I'm Carl Levin is our senator from this part of the state. I have a picture I took of him on the streets of this little town called Newaygo, Michigan, with my mother and a couple other ladies who are part of the Democratic Women's Club here. And I've kind of tried to follow his voting record, and he's been really good over the years. I think somebody got to him.
What do you mean?
Well, it's hard to tell. I can't imagine that he would let that. It just seems to me like he's been an advocate. He's been almost a liberal all this time. I'm talking about this goes back 15 years. It just doesn't seem right that he would approve Hayden for this position. It just doesn't.
Well, what do you think could have happened to Carl Levin? I mean, I tend to agree with you. Obviously he's not my senator. We had occasion, Kathy and I, in D.C., to meet him and actually sit down and have a conversation with him. I don't know, when was it, Kathy? 5 years ago when I was with a different network, and we met,
right.
some of us in Progressive Talk, met with some of these people, and I always respected him because, you know, I can remember. Wasn't Carl Levin at one time on the Detroit City Council?
Most likely. I think that's basically where he started out.
Right.
He has a brother, Sander Levin. I'm not sure exactly what his capacity is right now, but he's also in politics.
Well, I don't get it. I mean, I have no idea why someone, as you point out, with the liberal credentials,
right.
that we thought this guy had,
yeah,
would. You know, would vote to confirm someone who broke the law and violated the Constitution and just says, look, I'll make the decisions. That's what Hayden said. I'll make the decisions and I'll decide whether or not to tell the American people about what I've done.
I heard that crap, I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute here. I thought people were trying to scrutinize this guy and they're just like letting him go scot-free. It's just not right.
Yeah, well, the Bush crime family has decided, and they've made it very clear with this unitary interpretation of government that there is only one a powerful branch of government, that's the executive, that there are not three co-equal branches. The other two branches are there more or less for window dressing or
yeah.
to facilitate the moves of corporations in the society. But the branch of government that will make the decisions unchecked, unbalanced, And unseen is the executive
right.
branch. That's where we are. That's where we are in the history of the United States right now. Now, what we do about it is that remains the question, doesn't it?
Well, it should happen in November. But, I mean, as far as spanking these congressional entities into submission, I really think that they ought to resist that a little bit. But, and I like the way you've changed that. It's Resistance Radio now. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we used to say that quite a bit and have kind of gone back to it because I don't know what the hell else we're doing here. I really don't.
Well, you're doing your job, and that's really great. I had a couple other things I wanted to bring up, and actually probably one of the first times I called you and never got through, if you have a couple of minutes here. What it is?
Well, I've got about a minute and a half, so go.
A minute and a half. Okay, I'll do it in that. The raid on William Jefferson's office. I'm just wondering if that FBI tape doesn't have to do with some kind of an actor, but as a part of the sting, for one thing, it was a sting, so they were targeting him to begin with, and it kind of rings back to a man named J.H. Hatfield. Does that ring a bell with you?
Oh, yeah. He's the guy that was the chief suspect in the anthrax attacks.
Oh, I don't know why he should be that. He was the author of The Fortunate Son, The Making of American President.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yep.
My bad. I'm thinking of the guy named Hatfill, H-A-T-F-I-L-L.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Hatfield, right. Hatfield was the one who committed suicide.
Right. Well, he was going to be published by, I forget who it was, Doubleday or some big publisher, and then he got in trouble because they looked back in his record. Someone exposed his record, and he'd hired a hitman for somebody, some old employer. But nonetheless, he did really great research on a book about George Bush, The Fortunate Son.
Oh, he did. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, American President. I've got it. It was published by Soft Skull Press.
Yes, it
after
was.
His death. His death was in a motel room.
Right.
They staged it. Well, I want to say that.
Okay. Well, I think I understand where you're going with it. We're just flat out of time, but I get what you're saying. Thanks a lot for checking in, DB. Yeah, James Hatfield, who apparently committed suicide. I say apparently because subsequent to the discovery of his body, his wife said he had been depressed. Seriously depressed in the immediate time frame prior to his suicide. But the things he wrote about in Fortunate Son were astonishing. I think that was the first book that I read that really laid out a case for the criminality, the avoidance of responsibility. And the hypocrisy of not just George Bush, but the entire Bush clan. All right, we have a break here. We shall come back and take your phone calls. So stick around. The phone number here, we have an open line. The phone number is 866-303-2270. Stay with us. This is Air America Radio.
America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 100,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals on the iMed and Cigna Dental Networks. Call right now and you can try the Optimum Health Discount Card risk-free for 30 days. That's right. Your membership entitles you to full access to the entire Cigna Dental Network and iMed Network for you to try risk-free for 30 days. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Start saving up to 60% off now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. According to the most wanted man in the world, confessed 9/11 conspirator Zakarias Moussaoui had nothing to do with the terrorist attacks.
On an audio tape released Tuesday, Osama bin Laden said he personally made the assignments to the 19 hijackers who carried out the attacks on New York and the Pentagon. The authenticity of the tape has not been verified. Moussaoui was sentenced to life in prison May 4th for his role in the 9/11 attacks. He claimed he was to fly a fifth hijacked plane into the White House. Bin Laden said the hijackers were divided into pilots and support teams, and Moussaoui was not intended to be the so-called 20th hijacker. Iran must not gain nuclear weapons. That's what President Bush told a news conference after a White House meeting with new Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert. Iran's president has lately called for the destruction of Israel. Olmert called Iran a major threat.
The Iranian threat is not only a threat to Israel. It is a threat to the stability of the Middle East and the entire world. And it could mark the beginning of a dangerous and irresponsible arms race in the Middle East.
He criticized Iran for blatantly disregarding the will of the international community. A Covington, Georgia man remains in jail after allegedly plowing his car into five people, including three toddlers. It happened in the parking lot of a McDonald's restaurant in Covington just before 1 p.m. Assistant Police Chief Almond Turner says 36-year-old Lanny Barnes hit the people intentionally.
In the parking lot, he just randomly just hit a couple of vehicles and hit these pedestrians that was there at McDonald's and left. And we stopped him right down the street.
Turner says there is no known motive, and he could not confirm reports that the suspect has a history of mental problems. The three children and one of the adults are listed in critical condition. The other is in fair condition. Teen obesity is linked to poverty, especially in the 15 to 17-year-old age group. A study shows that young people in their mid-teens are more at liberty to choose what they eat, as well as avoid eating breakfast and getting exercise. The study found that about one quarter of mid-teens considered poor are overweight, compared to only 14% of kids in the same age group who are not below the poverty line. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. This is Air America. My name is Mike Malloy. We would love to hear some comments on these topics we've brought up. I realize that I usually run kind of a smorgasbord of topics, but let's try, can we, on and see how close to the topics we've discussed for the past 2 hours, how close we can adhere to those. I really would like to get your opinion on the vote taken today on the Senate Intelligence Committee to pass Hayden's name on out to the full Senate, and the other things, the Al Gore film, which none of us have seen unless we're connected to the film industry, that's going to be released this week, and the response, this attack, and I can never say that word. I want to say the short version, the one that starts with SH, and I can't. The two commercials that are going to be aired in 18 different markets. Let's start with Douglas, who's calling from Sacramento. Douglas, thanks for holding on. Welcome to the program.
Oh, my pleasure, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
There is a program I saw out here on PBS recently on something called Global Dimming.
Yeah. I've been hearing about that myself. I've read a couple articles about it.
I guess to give a thumbnail sketch, the idea is that high-level pollutants like particulates from jet exhaust tend to form clouds that reflect some of the sunlight that would ordinarily reach the surface of the Earth.
Right.
So the effect is, it actually, we are unknowingly and purely coincidentally reducing some of the effects of global warming.
Right.
So, and this, the interesting thing to me was that how this was discovered. It was discovered in the days after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Some climatologist or somebody like that started monitoring sunlight levels. And in the days while the airplanes were grounded, the intensity of the sunlight would incrementally increase
mm-hmm.
in his measurements.
Right.
So this means that, I mean, it's an immediate and dramatic proof of the effects of human activity on the climate.
Sure, and if I remember what I've read about this, the fact that global warming, the indicators of global warming have not been even more astounding or frightening is because of what you just described, global
mm-hmm.
dimming.
It's like if we're up to our chest right now, we would be up to our chin if it wasn't for this.
Right, and as this... immediate man-made this immediate response to man-made, for example, the jet trails that you mentioned, as that immediate response increases and or diminishes depending on how much is being dumped into the upper atmosphere or how much arrives at the upper atmosphere, as those numbers fluctuate back and forth, that tends to give the people who say there is no such thing as global warming even more ammunition to say, well, look, see, the science isn't in. Whereas, in fact, the science is in. All you have to do is to allow for the fact that this event is occurring, the so-called global dimming and what is causing it. And once you adjust for the global dimming, it makes the idea of global warming even more frightening.
Yeah, we're further out over the abyss than we thought.
And this is, you know, here you are in Sacramento, I'm in Atlanta, we're having a phone call. after midnight Eastern time on a talk radio show, and you and I get it. And I don't know if you're a scientist. I damn sure am not. Are you?
No, I just, I'm partly disabled. I have a lot of time on my hands, and I try to listen carefully.
Right, so you saw this thing, which is how I came across it. I just happened to see it or read it or hear about it, global dimming, and what it is and how it affects the numbers that are indicators of global warming, how it jiggers the numbers to the point that it gives us a false sense of security. Well, it's not all that bad, when in fact it's worse than we could possibly imagine.
Yeah, I don't know. If anything should happen to ground the planes again, I don't even want to think about that.
I hear you loud and clear. Hey, listen, I'm glad you checked in tonight, Doug. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it, okay?
Oh, thank you.
All right, sir. Take care.
So is the irony here that we have to keep polluting to stop global warming? Or to keep it in check?
No, it doesn't keep it in check. The global dimming, we'll have to find an article and take a look at it, Ms. Producer. But my understanding is that the reduction of the amount of sunshine that reaches the Earth has another adverse effect. You know, one of the consequences of global warming is the disruption of these the elevators that are deep in the sea that circulates hot, or not hot, but warm water, cold water, cool water. They're not called elevators. What are they called? I forget what they're called. Any tampering with the upper atmosphere has a direct effect on that. One of the unexpected consequences of global warming is the possibility of another ice age. One of the consequences of global dimming is the possibility of another ice age, one that would advance very, very, very quickly. So the various computer models that, from what I've read, that show these seemingly opposite consequences that would come as a result of global warming, one being another rapidly developing ice age, and the other being an increase in surface temperatures to the extent that ice began to melt, sea levels began to rise, crops were destroyed, tropical diseases migrated further away from the tropics into the northern and southern hemispheres, yada, yada, yada. All of this stuff is so interrelated. It can't be isolated, I don't think, on a simple computer model. And rather than realizing the complexity of what we're dealing with here, global climate change, so many of the people who refute the scientists who are paid by the oil companies or the chemical industries or the coal industries to fudge the figures, to deny the figures, so many of these so-called scientists seize on the apparent inability to reduce all this to a simple formula. It's kind of like looking for the unified field theory that, you know, unites the weak force, the strong force, gravity, the whole idea of quantum physics that just can't be codified to the point where some simple mind like mine or yours, if you have a simple mind, can seize on and say, oh, okay, I get it. So the so-called scientists can make a valid argument, and that is the computer models don't compute. They don't agree. Well, that's not proof that global warming is not happening. That's proof, in my way of thinking, that the complexities here are so intricate, that the dance is so involved, that all of these seemingly disparate parts are working together to produce what could be a catastrophe on a level that we just can't get our minds around. What? Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Even Bob Geldof looks alarmingly thin. I got to get on that shuttle, get me out of this place. But there's gonna be warfare up there in outer space. It's been a hard day on the planet. How much is it all worth? It's harder to understand it. Things are tough all over on Earth.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Subway Dinner Theater presents Buried Alive.
Help, help.
What's wrong, hon?
I'm buried under an avalanche of responsibility. Household errands, client meetings. Help, help.
Okay, we're going out for dinner.
To Subway restaurants and the new Tuscan chicken sandwich. Tender chicken, melted cheese, grilled vegetables, 8 grams of fat. Subway, eat fresh.
For a limited time only, participating restaurants. Subway is a registered trademark of Doctor's Associates, Inc. Fat content statement refers to 6-inch sub recipe without combo fat content such as mayonnaise.
You're on the Ovaltine Nutrition Hotline with nutritionist Felicia Stoller.
Hi, I just found out that I'm lactose intolerant, but I love chocolate milk. Can I still use Ovaltine?
You sure can. Just add rich chocolate Ovaltine to your lactose-free milk. Not only does Ovaltine make lactose-free milk taste better, it also makes it better for you. That's because rich chocolate Ovaltine has 16 vitamins and minerals. So turn lactose-free milk into delicious chocolate milk that's really nutritious with rich chocolate Ovaltine.
More Ovaltine, please!
Cooperatively with these countries in their efforts to reduce greenhouse emissions.
The city got together.
Yeah. Back to your phone calls. Paul is calling from Farmington Hills, Michigan. Paul, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi, Mike.
How you doing?
First of all, as far as the fossil fuel industry goes, I think that the global warming problem, too, I've thought, believed for a long time because of special interests going back to the oil cartels and the Rockefeller interests going back before the turn of the century, that they just squelched advancement in technology. So if we weren't relying on the fossil fuel industry, and of course they're going to own government, they're going to own the government and put their agents in place, that they have shut down over throughout the century advancement in technology, that we wouldn't be relying on fossil fuels that would be polluting us off this planet. And you go back to, like I said, like the diesel engine was designed to run on peanut oil. I heard on a radio broadcast recently a guy actually went to the internet and actually bought a huge 250 F4 250, and is going to restaurants and running his truck on.
I think I saw something about that. Yeah.
He's going to restaurants and they're giving him their used up peanut oil.
Right.
And he just learned it on his own, and it's totally pollutant free. And so we're just being the oil interests are just they're going to take this planet out if we don't get the handle on this. But can I get to Bush real quick before?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, because when it comes to the Bush administration, what fears me the most now, because of the dropping of their popularity, the Republican Party and the Bush administration, and the country starting to waken up to what frauds they are, what worries me the most is what nastiness they're plotting right now to gain more control, to continue their immense plunder of this country, like we have never seen human history. And I'm fearful that they're cooking up something really nasty.
Mm-hmm.
What I fear tragically the most too is that if they're gonna cook up something, that they can find a way to declare martial law somewhere down the road. And unfortunately, there's gonna be so many Americans, especially the conservatives in this country, that come from the viewpoint that promised safety and security will save them from terrorism of any degree, and they have no understanding of history and what Benjamin Franklin so eloquently understood a few centuries back. And
well, I think you're right insofar as martial law. I don't see that. I used to think that was something that occurred in somewhere else, that martial law was declared by so-called banana republic governments that were right-wing and just couldn't stand any sort of freedom or progressive ideas in their country. And all of a sudden, here we are, the same thing. We have an administration in place that can't stand freedom or progressive thought in this country, or science, or common sense, or adherence to the Constitution. So what to do to stop all that nonsense? Well, manufacture some sort of event, as you're pointing out, and I agree with you. It is not beyond these bastards to do this. These are criminals of the most degenerate sort, and to declare martial law would be the final insult to everyone who ever voted for these thugs, except the Christian nutballs, because some of these Christian nutballs really enjoy onward Christian soldiers, the whole thing. You know, the combination of the blood of Jesus and the blood of the unsaved is something that sends them into whirling fits of ecstasy. So that segment of our population would probably celebrate martial law. There's too much freedom. You know what I'm saying?
Well, right now we're at about 30% right now that are just, as I view them, as the walking dead. And that's basically what you would call right now, I guess you have to put it in that the diddlehead mentality. I guess you got to take what the man started years ago, the diddlehead thing. So basically, that's where I put the conservative title now. We're on a short leash right now. I guess this is why it doesn't bother me that I'm calling talk radio and I'm talking to the bureaucracy right now, because you have to stand tall right now. We're on a little short leash right now. They're cooking up something.
I think you're
right. I have no doubt in my mind.
Let me, I certainly agree with you. Let me ask you something, Paul. You live in Farmington Hills, Michigan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the, is Farmington Hills in the district that Nancy Skinner is running in?
Oh, yes, it is.
Okay, are you, what are you doing about that?
Oh, I'm definitely going to be a part of, voting for her, absolutely, because Joe Nolenberg is a piece of trash.
Well, that's what I've heard. I'm not
Joe Nolenberg's been around for, 20-some years, and he is just, but that's the problem with incumbency, and I've never understood in my lifetime, Mike, that, for me, I've never understood why this name recognition thing is important, why incumbency is so important. I can never understand that.
Well, listen, as a personal favor to your humble and obedient servant here, if you get a chance to do a little, work for Nancy Skinner, please do. One thing about Nancy, she is a true environmentalist. She really, really, really is. She used to work as an environmental advisor for the state of Illinois, so trust me on this one. Hey, I got to leave it there. Thanks a lot, Paul. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. Take care. We'll be right back.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here. Are you as alarmed as I am by the assault on our freedoms by the religious right? An essential element of freedom is the right to choose or reject religious beliefs. And this is why I fully support the Freedom From Religion Foundation as it takes the lead in challenging the growing threat from the religious right in the United States. If you'd like further information on the dangers of living in a theocracy, please call 800-335-4021. 800-335-4021 or visit their website, ffrf.org.
Hello, my name's Smokey and I'm a hardcore biker. I'm here to tell you that Geico... Hold on a sec. Is this the right music, bro? Really? Anyway, Geico covers most kinds of bikes, so you can get money-saving discounts whether you're a casual weekend rider or a hardcore biker like me. See, man, I'm not sure. This music don't make a lick of sense.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Who was the first automaker to introduce factory-installed safety belts and roll stability control? First to introduce emergency trunk releases and offer head and chest side airbags? And who was working on future safety innovations like lane departure warning and blind spot alert systems? It's Ford Motor Company. Ford engineers are working to help protect children, keep families safer, and save lives. Ford, driving American innovation.
We'll be right back.
mission against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
We were young together. We were on the ball.
I remember when I wrote that, those two sentences, get locked and loaded, you know, yada yada. I wrote that 4 or 5 years ago. Kathy recorded it, and I thought at the time, oh, isn't that cute, this little play on words, never realizing that the time would come, perhaps, when that might be literally necessary. Mike is calling from Santa Fe, New Mexico. Hey, Mike, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks a lot, Mike. Good to talk to you again.
My pleasure.
You know, this global warming thing is just one of my favorite blabs. And it's got to do with, well, first of all, we've burned more fossil fuel in the last 100 years than we have in the existence of humanity. And everybody realizes or has come to understand that the automobile is responsible for a lot of our greenhouse gases. But, you know, I would certainly call on your smarter people than myself, engineers or whatever, to get the numbers exactly right. But I started thinking about how much fuel it takes to actually, you've got to burn to actually build an automobile.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew a monumental bronze sculptor that pointed out that you got to burn 10 pounds of coal to melt 1 pound of metal. And if you've got a couple thousand pounds of tar, and that metal's been melted half a dozen times, we're talking about 50 tons of coal.
Per vehicle?
Per vehicle.
Wow.
And if you translate that into gasoline, that's about 20,000 gallons of fuel to drive your car. Like if I was to drive my old 75 Volvo at 25 miles to the gallon, that would take me 500,000 miles, which means that I'm not going to impact the planet as much driving 500,000 miles as somebody who just buys one new car.
Yeah, okay. That took a while for that to click in, but yeah, I see what you're saying.
So actually, you know, the global warming is more being caused by the making of the automobile than the driving of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that the environmentalists don't bring this point up, and I suspect that's because they want to drive a new car too.
Well, my producer wants to add something to this.
No, I was just going to say it. Then I think it would be universally true to just say cars are bad, and now they're doubly bad. They've always been bad. Now we just found out they're worse. Right? I mean, cars are bad.
Right.
Yep.
Cars, bad.
Internal combustion engine, bad.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, a real right. Dinosaur.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for the input. I appreciate it, Mike. Take care. Take care. Joshua is calling from San Diego. Joshua, welcome to the program.
Thanks a lot for you.
Up. Joshua, you disappeared like spring snow in Georgia. Try again. I think it's your cell phone. John is calling from Gulf Breeze, Florida. John, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was just, I'm a little off topic, but I'll be brief.
Okay.
I was just thinking, as I was gassing the car up the other day, about this USA Today story.
Mm-hmm.
And the wiretapping, or not wiretapping, but the amassing of the database
right. On
all the phone calls that we're making. And I was kind of pondering, you know, Quest and how they got out of doing anything, and how AT&T and Bell South and Verizon apparently did something,
but then
waited a week to come out and say they didn't do something. And I was just kind of mulling that over. And,
well, I think it's a lie.
Well, I do too. I mean, I did some research on the presidential memo that was written on May the 5th and coincidentally published on the same day the USA Today article came out on May the 11th.
Mm-hmm.
And, I got to thinking, in between the time the USA Today story came out and the phone company started, you know, a week later or so denying the story, there was a $200 billion class action lawsuit filed against those phone companies. And it occurred to me, gosh, that is a really big axe over these guys' heads. And I guess I started thinking within the context of the election that's coming up in November. And I thought to myself, you know, these guys can't afford to have the House and the Senate go Democratic. Because if it did, you know, we'd actually have, you know, subpoena power. And we'd actually have people testify.
Right.
And that's a mighty big axe over AT&T and Bell South and Verizon's head.
Well, you're right, but do you understand the other part of the story, I hope, that we talked about a couple days later. Bush signed a presidential memorandum, it was called, giving John Negroponte, the head of national intelligence, presidential powers. Included in those presidential powers was Negroponte's newly found power to allow these corporations, in violation of the Securities and Exchange Commission rules, to allow these corporations, these telecom corporations, to lie. It's written into the rules that they cannot lie, the corporations, about anything about their activities, their P&L, their what they're doing, and certainly not their activities, unless they have a direct presidential or a direct order from the executive branch of government that they can lie. So Bush, giving himself cover, or Rove, I'm sure, set this up, had Bush issue this presidential memorandum, it was called, giving presidential power to Negroponte, who in turn, as the head of national intelligence, that makes him a top-level executive department officer, he could then turn around and say to the phone companies, okay, you don't have to worry about that rule. And then, after about 4 or 5 days, you remember, the phone companies were silent for 4 or 5 days, and all of a sudden, I think Verizon went first and said, no, we didn't do that.
Right.
And then Bill South went and said, no, we didn't do it either. And,
right.
and then AT&T, in the meantime, Quest... Quest just decided to lie from the start and
right.
say, "No, we didn't do any of that. We never. Our executive back then never gave permission." Well, the lie is that executive back then, whenever that back then was, no longer heads the company. The new
sure.
CEO, is the one that apparently gave permission. So anyone who thinks that Quest was not collecting data and the other three were is a fool. Of course Quest was. So
yeah, I think I heard on your show that the Carlyle Group has some, or at least did have some owning interest in Quest too.
Bingo. So there you know that other part of the story, which I've never heard of. I've never heard of anything like that. Have you?
No, I haven't. And let me just throw one more thing in on that presidential memo.
Yeah.
He references the authority granted in the 1934 Securities Exchange Act.
Right.
And I actually went and I looked at that Securities and Exchange Act, and the clause or the section right after the one that he references in the presidential memo,
uh-huh.
it actually specifies that John Negroponte, on October 1st of this upcoming year, October 1st of this year, is going to have to submit a brief to the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, as well as the Senate
mm-hmm.
Intelligence Committee, completely outlining the specifics of the authority that he granted, you know, these corporations to lie. Go ahead.
But I was just going to say, John, you do understand that'll never happen because they'll claim executive privilege and say it's a matter of national security or it's classified, and it will never happen.
Well, it's written into the 1934 Securities Exchange
doesn't matter.
Act that he's got to.
Yeah, I know, but that doesn't matter. It's written in the U.S. Constitution that we are to be secure in our persons, papers, and homes unless a warrant is issued specifically saying what it is that the people coming into our homes are going to look for. No, these people don't give a goddamn, about the law or the
right.
Constitution, nothing. I will
right.
sit here and guarantee you, I'll put myself out on a limb here, John, I will guarantee you that when Negroponte, even if he does show up to testify, will claim national security, he will claim a presidential privilege, executive privilege, he will claim whatever it takes, but the requirement is set forth in that law from 70 years ago will be ignored.
Right.
Completely ignored. Listen, John, thanks for checking in. You're a good caller. I'm glad you called. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Mike.
I appreciate it. Take care. Take care. Man. They're not, you know, I'm like John. It's written in the law. They got to follow the law. What? You mean they don't have to follow the law? Well, I can't accept that. But accept it I must, because that's what they've been doing. That's what these sons of bitches have been doing since they stole the election on December 12th, 2000. It's just been one instance after another of theft, grand theft, fraud, violation of the Constitution, violation of his oath of office. This man should be impeached, tried, convicted, and jailed.
Stabilize the Middle East. Enrich the CEO. Lie down, people. Lay down your Bill of Rights. Tell James Madison we had to let those amendments go.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Janine Garofalo, and it doesn't matter if you're black, white, gay, straight, male, or female. AIDS has taken its toll on all kinds of people around the world for over 20 years, and it is still everybody's problem. Register for AIDS Walk. Together, we can make AIDS history.
There are more than 75 walks happening all over the country throughout the year. For a comprehensive guide that'll help you locate the AIDS Walk event closest to you, visit AIDSWalk.org. That's AIDSWalk.org. A message from Air America Radio.
Every day, Aleve helps millions of people overcome the pain of arthritis. In recognition of Arthritis Month, Aleve is bringing you one of their stories every day.
I'm Phyllis Ocean, and this is my story. When I was diagnosed, my arthritis was in my knees. I started using Aleve. You don't know how good you feel until the pain is gone.
31 people, 31 stories, 31 days of good news. That's a daily dose.
Aleve works for me.
Watch for a new story each day on national TV and AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
Your Day Screaming with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
It's about 10 before the hour. Thanks to the crew in New York who helped produce the program tonight. Justin Yuen and Jason Isaac engineered the program. Lauren Kirchner answered the phones again tonight. Thanks, Lauren. Chris in Minnesota is our senior correspondent. Mark Marshall, our webmaster at MaximumInteractive.com. Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, archives the program. And our most astute music bureau chief, Jim in Arkansas. Thank you. Catherine Bay is our executive producer. All right, back to your phone calls. Let me see here. How about Don, who's calling from the Bronx in New York City? Hey, Don.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right. How are
you
doing?
Hey, man, I want to wish you the best, your family.
Thank
you. You've been fine on Air America. You've been great. I got, because I know you're running short, I was holding for a long time. I got something for your callers out there, everybody nationwide. They need to go to Infowars.com. They have footage from, you know, from September 11th, 9/11, where the fireman says on camera, never saw this in the national media, that there's bombs in the building. We got to get out. Everybody clear out. And I saw it, blew my mind. I saw it last night. Because I'm a night hawk, you know, I stay up, I research, you know, I listen to you, I listen to other shows, you know, that deal with progressive media, and it blew my mind, like, even bigger than the Pentagon thing.
Yeah, I saw a transcript of that. I haven't seen the actual video. I think I'll do what you did and go see it myself.
Yeah, and when you see this, it is just shocking. I mean, it's amazing. And I just want to share with a lot of people, if they don't know, nationwide, 7 World Trade Center has reopened 5 years after, you know, the attack. Nothing never touched the Building 7. You know, it fell on its own, you know, miraculously. Now it's been fixed. It's a 52-story, brand-new, you know, building, you know, and it's open. And nothing else on the site has really been done. I think, really, Mike, you know, to be honest, you know, you said it, and a lot of your callers touched base. From 1999, the nightmare began like a Twilight Zone episode that we couldn't wake up from or we couldn't change the channel. And it's really, it's mad. It's just, it's gotten to the point now where if the people don't take heed, like you say, and a lot of other progressive people say, they're going to come for you. And then there's nobody going to be left. I just want to wish you the best, Mike. God bless you, you and your family and your staff. And take care, all right?
All right, Don. Thanks a lot for checking in, pal. I appreciate it. Take care. Take care of yourself. Al is calling from Sacramento. Al, welcome. Welcome to the program.
How you doing, Mike?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
I tried to get a hold of you when he came out here. I was glad he came out here. And was it you who had the lady on who was running against Feinstein?
Yes.
The
other night, yeah.
Yeah, I sent in my vote for her, so I was very pleasing not to vote for Feinstein.
Yeah, Colleen Fernald, excuse me, Colleen Fernald. Is her name, and anyone out there who wants to check out her website, check it out. I think Feinstein showed once again today why she should not be a member of the Democratic Party's delegation from the state of California. She doesn't act like a Democrat.
Oh, we don't need her. You know, I was you know, talking to the screener about the Auschwitz syndrome, sort of a phrase I coined. If you look at the pictures and, you know, you study that at any degree at all, you'll realize that the people off the trains, that there was massive amount of people. There was many more people that they could easily overwhelm the guards and escape. And in fact, it did happen once or twice there. The
intimidation factor with these armed guards, I know exactly what you mean. And God forbid we should come to that in this country. Al, let me leave it there. There's something I got to do here at the end of the program. We're just about out of time. We'll talk again, I promise. I've just got to, given what we talked about tonight, I just got to go back to the Busta Rhymes thing, extinction level event, and play this. This is a good thing to listen to right before you go to sleep. Are you in?
Daddy, what?
what's it gonna be like?
Well, sweetheart, for your sake, I hope it'll be all peaches and cream. But I'm afraid the end time is near. The cataclysmic apocalypse referred to in the scriptures of every holy book known to mankind. It will be an era fraught with boundless greed and corruption, where global monetary systems disintegrate, leaving brother to kill brother for a grain of overcooked rice. The nations of the civilized world will collapse under the oppressive weight of parasitic political conspiracies which remove all hope and optimism from their once faithful citizens. Around the globe, generations of polluters will be punished for their sins, unshielded by the ozone layer they have successfully depleted, left to bake in the searing naked rays of light. Wholesale assassinations serve to destabilize every remaining government, leaving the starving and wicked to fend for themselves. Bloodthirsty renegade cyborgs created by tax-dodging corporations wreak havoc. Pissed off androids tired of being slaves to a godless and gutless system where the rich get richer, unleash total worldwide destruction by means of nuclear holocaust, annihilating the terrified masses, leaving in its torturous wake nothing but vicious, cannibalistic, mutated, radiated, and horribly disfigured hordes of satanic killers bent on revenge, but against whom there are so few left alive. Starvation reigns supreme, forcing unlucky survivors to eat anything and anyone in their path. Massive earthquakes crack the planet's crust like a hollow eggshell, causing unending volcanic eruptions. The creatures of the seven seas, unable to escape to certain death upon land, boil in their liquid prison. Disease encircles the earth. Plagues and viruses with no known cause or cure, laying waste to whatever draws breath. And humankind, having proven itself to be nothing more than a race of ruthless scavengers, fall victim to merciless attack at the hands of interplanetary alien tribes who seek to conquer our charred remains. This is extinction level event.
Wow, that's cool. I can't hardly wait.
You don't have to, because here it is. Because here it is. Because here it is.
Listen, have a good sleep. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 100,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals on the iMed and Cigna Dental Networks. Call right now and you can try the Optimum Health Discount Card risk-free for 30 days. That's right, your membership entitles you to full access to the entire Cigna Dental Network and iMed Network for you to try risk-free for 30 days. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Start saving up to 60% off now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.